Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Thank you. Hello again, fellow basement dwellers. This is your good friend Patrick O'Dowd welcoming you into a bare bones edition of Bandwagon Nerds. That's right, kids. Bandwagon Nerds is here as part of the Chairshot Radio Network here on thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And I am not kidding when I say we have a bare bones edition of the Bandwagon. First of all, of course, you have me, the number one chair shot villain. For the first time, the one who is here, as opposed to the one who is absent. It's usually kind of the other way around. But it is just the two of us. Just the two of us. Me and Tunny. That's right. It is me, Mr. Saturday Night, the Executive Vice President of Wednesday Programming, the Swiss Army Knife of the Chairshot Radio Network, PC Tunney, here. Dave out. For some reason, he took my job as the Tribal Chief, to use the wrestling reference too early today. He's earned a weekend, I guess, maybe one off of recording the Bandwagon. He's here. I mean, Tunney's taking a day off, so at this point,
I think I have the most PTO built up at this point.
You might. It sounds like me at my job, where I never take days off, and so I have so much time off. I've maxed out my vacation time. My paychecks when we accrue vacation time, I actually lose an hour and a half just to then reaccrue the hour and a half because I am maxed. I could literally get hit by a bus, survive, and still have plenty of sick time. I have years of sick time built up.
When I was younger, this was probably more than 20 years ago, I was working at a table manufacturing plant, and there was a guy there who like I didn't work there long, but in 6 weeks he was about to retire and still be paid for the next 3.5 years because of the vacation that he had built up over 35 years.
It's funny you mentioned this. Now, this man does not listen to our podcast, but I do want to extend a congratulations to Papa O'Dowd, my father, who just let me know 2 days ago, I want to say it was Friday, which is rare that my father calls me anytime but Sunday. We talk every Sunday night. That's our thing. He is retiring from Kraft Foods. He's worked there for 51 Jesus. Years.
How old is
51
he?
51 years. He's in his 70s, early 70s, late 60s, early 70s, somewhere there.
So could have already had been retired.
Oh, yeah. Old Man O'Dowd was very much like that generational where like their identity is very much kind of wrapped into what they do. Like he was very proud. And I love him to death. But he was always very proud of the fact that he had worked so long at that company and felt like it, for the most part, had done right by him. It was finally time. Like, I'm glad that this happened. My mom's been retired for like a couple of years.
See, well,
it's been a bit.
Now, while PC Tony is an extremely hardworking individual, extremely organized, you know, you right. give me something to do, you know it's going to get done. You come up and ask me a question, I'm going to probably answer it before you even finish the question. But if you say we're kind of slow, we're slow, I'll go home early today, no big deal. Yeah, you don't need me tomorrow? I'll can take off tomorrow. That's fine. Yeah, like yeah, I am the kind of guy who is like, if I'm there and you need and we're doing something, we're doing it and we're getting it done. We're doing it right and we're doing it until it's done. But I am not the kind of person that can't find something to do if I wasn't working. Like, I'd be okay if I won the lottery. I'd find stuff to do, Patrick.
Right. I mean, we wouldn't know, but there'd be signs. That's what I'm hearing here.
Bandwagon nerds, 7 days a week. We all live in a compound in middle America.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That sounds like a cult. I don't know if we want that. They make horror movies about that sort of shit.
You call it a cult, Patrick. I call it ratings.
There you go. This is the true story of a bunch of podcasters.
Oh, now it's Jackass. Sorry.
There you go. No, but I'm really happy for a 51 years. I think in the pinnacle for him, like in terms of just being proud of how long and the time he was given to the company, is that because he was there for as long as he was, he and one other employee at their plant were actually invited to their regional corporate office to meet with like Kraft Food executives and all of them, and like they took him to Chicago, put him up in a room. They had like this, you know, nice dinner and all that stuff. And it's time. I'm glad. I hope this means that I get to see a little bit more of my folks who live in Illinois. And everybody knows I live in Massachusetts. It's just a tough travel when you have to work.
Let me have a brief commentary on the state of working America. Okay.
Yeah.
While it is a privilege for you to have a good paying job with, you know, reasonable management and solid benefits, it is also a privilege for these companies to have these good workers like Patrick's father and so many other workers that are good workers that consistently show up and do their job, right? We know there's not a lot of them, but the ones that are, the companies, you're the privileged ones to have these people, not the other way around.
So, yeah, and I'm very, very happy, like I said, for both of them. But, yeah, looking at today, though, let's on to the matter at hand here, Bandwagon Nerds. Just the two of us, we tried to see if Ray Cash could make it. Unfortunately, he was unable to. And I think Dave's doing Six Flags or something. I think, like, we call it on assignment, but he's on assignment at a horror house somewhere and looking at scary clowns or something. That's right, I sold his ass out. Sold you out, Dave! I'm the villain. That's what the villains do. But I was sitting there. I'm sitting there yesterday. Like, okay, so it's maybe the three of us. What is actually going on in the world of entertainment? And I didn't want to talk. So one of the big news items I'm just going to own, I didn't want to talk about it. And that is yet another major corporation firing a bunch of people, as Paramount and Paramount / Sundance this week, this coming week, is going to, the axe is coming after the recent Paramount Sundance merger, as they start to send more people home without, you know, a job, because that's the unfortunate nature of mergers in entertainment now. So I'm exhausted with the number of times we've talked about it on the show. I kind of wanted to talk about some fun things, maybe make fun of Jared Leto. We're going to do that a little bit later.
Yeah.
We're going to get excited. I don't know if I'm excited about Jim Carrey news, but I have a soft spot for Jim Carrey.
I am. I'm excited about the news as well.
We'll get to it.
Whatever. Grinch.
That's a different Jim Carrey. Right?
I said what I said.
I heard you. And we're not in that season. Like, it's spooky season. But we don't have a show to cover, because that show doesn't hit until 2 weeks, when we are watching The Witcher Season 4, much to Tony's excitement. Patrick had a brief moment of weakness. Dave and Tony kind of talked him out of it.
Yeah, I can't listen. I'm not going to complain about it. We can drop that shtick moving forward. We'll just do it. I don't want to show up every week and go, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, because here's why. Because literally, like Patrick's saying right now, he had his moment of weakness, and I could have basically came in and said, thank you, let's not do this, and we wouldn't be doing this. But I said, A, I think it'd be funnier if because of me we do it, and B, it really goes against kind of what we were saying. Now, having found out later there is possibly three more seasons, not just this one, I really want to find a pencil sharpener so I can grab this unsharpened pencil and stab it as deeply as I can in my thigh.
Oh, dear. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. But don't do that.
I shan't.
I remember when I was a kid, the idea of believing that you were going to get lead poisoning if you stabbed yourself with your pencil in grade school. Like, I remember stabbing myself once, like, in the webbing of my hand. I don't know what I was doing, but stabbed myself, and the graphite stain was there, and I was like,
So the summer between fourth and fifth grade, it's late afternoon, and I have a Little League game, but I'm down at the neighbor's house, and we decide, instead of going on the swing set and swinging backwards and forwards, we decide to swing side to side. Well, there was an exposed screw on the right side, and it went right into the side of my thigh. Yeah, a little kid. So I had like 8 stitches. You could still see a big thing right there. So yeah, I went 1-for-3. That 1-for-3 that night. They hobbled old Casey at the bat there with the screw to the side of the leg.
You
want to
know how I got these scars? I was a dumbass on the swing when I was a kid.
Pretty much.
But yeah, so really, we don't even have a really robust trailer park, and I'm gonna own. We're gonna go to the trailer park shortly, but even this one, I was like, well, I'm gonna put this one on, but Dave's not even here to talk about it, and really, Dave's the one we need here to talk about it. But we're still gonna talk about it.
Dave's got his own show to talk about this.
He does. But we will talk a little bit about it. But before we can do that, we actually have to go to the trailer park. And because there's no Dave, that means Tony's running the board, which means the banjos are back, baby. The banjos are back. Ba-boom. And I want to hear number 4.
That's here it comes.
I want to hear banjo number 4.
Right now.
Yeah. Banjo. Yeah. Banjo. That was a little more Beavis than I meant it to be. Like, banjo, yeah.
I gotta pull the curtain back. My sound is still messed up in the fact that no one else can hear it but me, until they listen back to the show. So the fact that Patrick was selling the shit out of the banjos, 4 is one of his favorite ones. But yeah,
this is true.
Good job.
Got a little shrill there though. Okay, so we only got 3 trailers here in the trailer park today. The first one though, So Dave, first of all, go listen to Unidentified History. That is Dave's podcast, where he talks about UAFs and
UAPs.
Sorry, I don't follow this shit. I don't care about it the way he does.
Very casually charging.
You're casually correcting me, and I'm gonna play along. And that show, Dave really puts a, like, he is very, very passionate about this topic. It's something that he follows religiously. Has what you name a podcast, he's probably listened to it. If it's about UAPs, you name a documentary about UAPs, he's probably seen it. You name a book, he's probably read it. Like, outside of his lawyering reading and work, this is probably about as passionate as I ever see Dave is when he talks about UAPs. And so he has been anxiously awaiting a release date. Now, the trailer that I actually shared in the rundown is an older trailer because it's longer. The trailer that released for this documentary, it's called The Age of Disclosure, which was not able to get any sort of distribution rights or a company to pick it up for distribution. So they are distributing it on their own via Amazon and MGM, and it will be on Prime, has really been creating a lot of buzz around the country and people who follow government cover-ups and things like that. And this documentary, like, it very much, like, it has known political figures on there. Like, you can see Rubio on there. You can see people who say that they worked for the federal government as part of either the CIA and other federal agencies, that their job was to react and respond to UAPs. And they would, this trailer really talks about almost like an arms race sort of thing with technology, as people try to, quote unquote, unlock this technology that is wildly different from our own. There's some really, just tantalizing footage that is shown in these trailers, both the shorter one that announced a release date and then the longer one, which actually came out about 8 months ago, that is a good 2.5 minutes long. It's not something that necessarily excites me, but it is something that I will 100% say on this program and anywhere. You'd be naive to believe that that this planet and our civilization is alone in a universe as vast as even our galaxy is, let alone our universe. And so, sure, I absolutely believe that there has been life from other worlds that have come and visited us. And I am willing to believe that many governments have covered it up. And just knowing our own nature, we sure as shit are probably a people that would try really, really hard to figure out how to use it for our own gains. And that's a lot of what you see out of this trailer. I'm sure that Dave is going to cover this extensively on his podcast, but I also know that it's within our wheelhouse, but we're more on the fiction side of science fiction as opposed to, what Dave covers within his own documentary. So I'm probably going to give this a watch, Tony. I think that it's called The Age of Disclosure. It's going to be streaming on November 21st. I do believe it's a series. I don't think it's just, or is it just one film? I'd have to go back and look, but it's supposedly going to shake the foundations of a lot of things we know or think we know.
So a couple of big questions to ask is, like, has like the government held this back from the public because the public can't handle this, right? That's a big question. Right. And then they bring up a great thing right in the trailer is the world's nations race to be the ones to figure out this technology or come up with a treaty for whoever has this technology, right? It's going to make you first and foremost in this nation. So we actually talked about that on some of the unidentified history episodes, myself, DJ, and Dave, for the majority of them. Dave's done some really big interviews with a few of the people well-connected in that circle. But yeah, I mean, go to attitudeofaggression.com, Chairshot Radio Network. You can listen to all of those. What we also do on there is we've started in the early 1900s, and we are following like the historic chronological order of events that have happened. We just got up into the 1940s, so kind of starting there if you're kind of jumping in new now. But then we also talk about what's been going on. You look at the president of Denmark coming out a couple weeks ago and talking about these drones that they had no idea. And it seemed like they were kind of trying to make it seem like it was somebody else, like trying to imitate and blame different nations to go to war and things of that nature. So just so many crazy things going on with this. It's not a matter of fact or fiction anymore. It's a matter of what's going on.
Right. So we'll leave that one to the experts and for Dave to really get into and analyze as it comes out, because I'm sure it's going to happen. This next trailer, I was unsure where you would land on our second trailer. So this next trailer is a trailer for the film called Send Help. Stars Rachel McAdams and a guy whose name I'm not remembering right now, in Sam Raimi's latest film. And Sam Raimi, most well known for his Evil Dead movies, schlocky horror, that sort of thing. Like he's very much in the horror comedy genre. But this film really seems interesting to me because it seems like his take on Stephen King's work Misery, if I were to think of a way to describe it.
It's exactly what I was thinking, Patrick.
Where Rachel McAdams plays what looks to be like some sort of an accountant or just, you know, an unexciting member of this big corporate office. She's very mousy. She's made to look not attractive, which is really hard because Rachel Dylan O'Brien is the name of the other lead. But the trailer sets it up as her character is called into this office where Dylan O'Brien plays this hotshot asshole of an executive sort of boss, talking to her about how important she is to the company, but how he doesn't want to keep her around. And that her real opportunity to try and make it is going to be on this trip. They're heading over to, I think it's Thailand. When the plane that they're on, this private jet, crashes over the middle of the Pacific Ocean, I'm assuming, Rachel McAdams and Mr. O'Brien are washed up on this desert island. And this woman who has been abused, made fun of, mocked, like he literally calls her smelly, and says that she's being complained about. The roles are reversed as he is injured. Rachel McAdams' character saves him, and then it's strongly implied that not only have the tables have turned and that he's got to rely on her and that she's in charge. Like at one point he tries to be like, you know, I'm your supervisor, you have to do what I say. And she's like, we're not in the office anymore. And seems to be living her best life while also torturing this dude on this desert island while he freaks out and tries to find a way to survive. The trailer culminating with her dumping the head of a boar right in front of them, splattering him with blood and being like, I kind of like it. She's a little crazy. I love it because it's Rachel McAdams in a different sort of way than I've ever imagined her.
Have you ever been hunting before? I think I like it.
Yes. I'm in on this. This looks really, really interesting to me. It looks a lot of fun. And like I said, if you're a fan of Misery with Kathy Bates and James Caan, how can you not be interested in this movie?
Castaway meets Misery, baby.
Hell yeah. With a little bit of splatter fun from Sam Raimi's directing style.
Yeah, and maybe some like possible 50 Shades of Grey shit that's going to be happening here, you know, after dark. Who knows? I love that this is more of a social dynamic thriller, right? Like you talked about, you know, the modern system of
office.
Yeah, I was trying to get old school with the name of it, the caste system, right? Was it that?
Yeah,
I was trying to get like kind of crazy with it. So just like imagine, you know, this, for lack of a better term, let's go like back to like the Egyptian era, like the pyramids and the Israelites, and like this poor Israelite woman who's been like making clay all day gets stranded on an island with this master builder who was in charge of like 80 other people who actually are the ones that come around and whip you. And now she's the one in charge because he can't stand up. And if she doesn't help him heal, he's going to die. It's a really interesting thing because there's been these kind of social dynamics since time has existed, since there's been people in positions of power. And that's got to go back to before we were wearing stitched clothing. So, yeah, this looks fun. Very much a thriller as opposed to a horror movie.
Yeah, I'm very excited for this. And I'm excited for this for Sam Raimi too, because the last film of his I remember watching was Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, which I enjoyed,
I liked it.
but was not yeah was not as well received critically, and I'm sure it was a financial disappointment, like most superhero movies seem to be right now. Even big time superhero movies are in a different place. This is definitely something that feels very Raimi. But a little more sinister, not quite as campy as like Drag Me to Hell was. I mean,
Can you
Drag Me
say
to Hell had
we're gamey for Raimi?
a right. We are gamey for Raimi.
All right,
No,
that's not.
talking goats in this one.
I
You
was I
tried.
before I said it out loud, it sounded like it could have been a title, but then I said it out loud and I'm like, I don't know, we can't.
No, we're a bare bones bandwagon. That's what we are.
Yep, done.
See, there you go. I say that as we move into our third and final trailer here in the trailer park today. We got our second look at the Running Man. And if possible, this second trailer hyped me. Hyped me so hard for this movie. And not only did it hype me, Tony, it hyped the little O'Dowd. And you know what that's gonna mean. Because this trailer is literally a sh so much of a better look and explanation of what this version of the film was going to be, with Glenn Powell in the Ben Richards role, running from people like Lee Pace. Josh Brolin is like the Killian character, if I do remember correctly. But it's a lot of just action footage set to this pulse-pounding soundtrack, but it does everything that you want out of a trailer. It gives you a basic idea of the setup. Glenn Powell's character is joining this sadistic game show to be able to fund medical treatment for his child. He is on the run. You get the setup that you already know that the game is rigged. You see that the poor people are in support of him because they want him to survive. You get humor, you get action. This movie, I can't wait for this movie to come out. I can't. I am probably, I don't know, this isn't like a midnight showing opportunity for me, but it is very much on the November 14th is going to be, I'm going to be looking at what I got going on, because I am in, and Edgar Wright has got me in on this. Such a I'm ready. I'm really William H. Macy as the crazy like weapons dealer guy who won't sell you the C4 explosive. No?
You got me
No?
hyped for it. Yeah, like I understand, like it looks good. I understand the premise, like the actors, the ensemble's good. I'm not going to go to the theater for it, and I'm probably not going to watch it on streaming either, that means. So I'm
Blasphemy.
yeah, well, you know what?
Blasphemy.
I'm here, so deal with it.
You are here.
I don't know.
Here's the
I don't know.
I
No,
here's the
I
other here's the other reason why I'm excited to see it. I read the short story.
Okay.
This is the short story. Like it or the novella, as they like to call it. This looks much more accurate. Like if you love the Arnold Schwarzenegger version, which by the way, good ass time. Professor Toru Tanaka, Sub-Zero, now Plane Zero. I will watch The Running Man any day of the week and twice on Sunday. But it is not anywhere near to really the work that Stephen King did. It is an in-name only representation. This looks much more close. And if it ends the way that the story ends, Glenn Powell's in for a bad day. So, spoiler alert. But,
And now you know.
and in knowing is half the battle.
No,
I don't know if you played it.
I could.
I was waiting because I wasn't sure.
Okay, I'll play it.
Now we
Okay.
know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe.
Complete total aside, Amazon Prime right now is running one of their little like cartoon or one of their little like mini channel stations is running the first season of G.I. Joe, the animated G.I. Joe series. One of those things that I love about Amazon Prime that they just have. They have these channels that just run good stuff. And much
they
like
do.
That, I think.
They do. They have a lot of good channels talking about Amazon Prime. I mean, that's like one of their cooler things that they have. I mean, Mr. Beast has a channel. Family Feud has a channel. It's pretty nice.
This guilty pleasure favorite. They have one, and this is like a deep dive. You like got to go looking for it. They have a channel that runs OG Food Network Iron Chef dubs, like the Japanese Iron Chef that used to be on at like 3 o'clock in the morning on Food Network. Focus on, and then you would learn all about fish eyeballs and how they're in an ice cream.
Makes me think of Midnight. Check out Midnight Diner on Netflix, folks, if you're looking for
there you go.
Asian dubs.
Well, cool. So while Tony will not be checking out this Running Man film, I definitely will with the little O'Dowd. Maybe it was just the soundtrack of that trailer that got the blood pumping, got me hyped, but it's great. And we are now going to run ourselves into our first commercial break. And we come back, only one commercial break today because the news is so limited. So one commercial break today. When we come back, Tony and I are going to talk some news around the nerdosphere. A lot of talk about actors and performances this week. So stay tuned to that. You're listening to Bandwagon Nerds here on the ChairShot Radio Network, part of the ChairShot.com.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back to Bandwagon Nerds here on the ChairShot Radio Network as a part of TheChairShot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. Patrick O'Dowd, PC Tunney, holding down the bare bones bandwagon fort for y'all today because we are the Energizer Bunny of the ChairShot Radio Network. We are a reliable part of your Monday morning. We are never missing a show. No, yeah, sorry. No, sorry. We are, but Rob.
I don't know.
And we are going to make fun of Jared Leto now because, almost forgot.
Low-hanging fruit.
/TheChairShot. Yeah, there is a meme. Get your t-shirts, your Bandwagon Nerds t-shirts, prowrestlingtees.com/TheChairShot. I sort of slipped that in and failed and slipped it in again. So, you know, it's there. It's there.
Just the tip.
One of the classic memes that floats around out there. Yes, I heard that. Is the Grim Reaper meme, where the Grim Reaper is walking down a hallway and there's all these different doors and there's just blood trailing from every hallway as the Grim Reaper is about to approach the next one. And many, many times this meme has been done over with a different head over the Grim Reaper's face, killing something, whether it's a shitty athlete, killing a franchise, just all kinds of stuff. But one of my favorites, Jared Leto killing film franchises. And the one that I saw had Spider-Man, Zack Snyder's DC Universe, because he was the Joker in that. He was Morbius in the Spider-Man, Sony Spider-Man universe. And so on. And coming up into Tron is the one that he's walking out of. We're going to talk about Tron and why that is. And his next one is He-Man, as that's his, he's been cast as Skeletor in the next Masters of the Universe film. And not good, Bob. Not liking it. I don't feel great. And Jared Leto kills franchises, and according to The Hollywood Reporter, he has effectively killed Tron. So Tron Ares, which had the strength of a Nine Inch Nails soundtrack, a massive budget, looks incredibly slick, looked like $1 million, and it made $27 million overseas. Or sorry, let me get this right. It pulled in a dismal $33.2 million from 4,000 theaters in the United States against a production budget of at least $180 million, with an additional $27 million overseas, which means that in its opening weekend, it made $60.2 million. Now, there is an argument to be made that Tron as an intellectual property is tough. Neither of the previous Tron movies did well. You know, the original Tron, for what it was in the 80s, was way ahead of its time. People did go to see it, but nobody understood it. Like, a lot of people just did not understand it. Then
Skyline's new chicken chili is here. Now you can enjoy that legendary Skyline taste with a new protein option. Try Skyline's chicken chili on Waze, Coney's, and all your Skyline favorites. Feeling good. It's Skyline time.
It came along, the Tron follow-up sequel, I don't know what you want to call it, where Jeff Bridges' kid goes into the video game to try and find his dad, and instead pulls out a hot computer program with him, and they ride off on a motorcycle at the end. It made no goddamn sense. No, I mean, she was pretty. And so this time, Jared Leto was the new savior of the Tron franchise. It was supposed to be like the bad guy AI as the world of Tron comes into the United States or into the world and starts taking over the world. The only problem is nobody saw it, nobody cared, and you know, and word started floating around that there were other actors, including Ryan Gosling, who were up for the role that Leto eventually won, and people are starting to equate Jared Leto with the failure of this movie. I don't entirely buy that, because I think Tron has always been a tough sell, and I enjoy Tron. But it is fun to just say Jared Leto kills franchises. That dude, I do not get why he gets cast so much. I do not find him to be a very exciting actor. I can think of one movie I enjoy seeing him in, like truly enjoy seeing him in, and that's Fight Club. And in that one, he gets his face punched in.
What do they call those diagrams where the circles, they intersect and like some things?
It's a Venn diagram.
Yeah, like outside of the circle, inside of the circle, and then the part where the circles intersect are all different things, right? I think the part where Tron and Jared Leto's circles intersect, it's basically labeled like no one wanted to see this anymore. Like no one wanted to see Tron anymore. No one wanted to see Jared Leto anymore. The super talented guy, by the way, just so everybody knows, like the amount of beautiful women I'm sure he's had. He's basically started a cult. He's been in all these movies. He is a successful musician on top of it, if you don't know. But like just a fucking nobody you want to be within a fucking schoolyard of, I'll tell you that.
I take it back. There is a second movie that I enjoy seeing Jared Leto in, but only because you don't really see him. And the little O'Dowd, because it's his favorite ride at Disney World, he was the antagonist in the recent 2023 Haunted Mansion movie. He plays the hatbox ghost. But it's not, yeah, like, it's just not good. Like, he was in Dallas Buyers Club.
Like the role for him was Mephisto.
But even then, you can say that, and it probably could have worked.
I think Sacha Baron Cohen is a better option. Oh, much yeah. More so. I'm just saying, like, that's the only thing I would want to see him play, just because, like, he comes with that distaste. But, like, right. I think people are over him.
Did you know he was in Urban Legend? I had no idea he was in Urban Legend. I'm looking at his filmography right now.
I'm sorry you're doing that.
I wanted to see if there was another movie I enjoyed that he was in. He does get murdered in American Psycho, so I guess it is great because he gets murdered. Like, that's cool.
Yeah.
God, just so many bad folks. So, yeah, and I do want to echo one of the other things you said. Nobody was sitting there clamoring for a Tron remake and a new Tron movie. And I don't know why Disney is obsessed with the idea of trying to make Tron a thing. I do think it clearly, like, if you ask our good friend DJ, I hear his podcast is listened to and is pretty good. Or if you listen to Dave, both of them have a soft spot for Tron.
Sounds like an old people kind of thing.
But I don't get it. Like, I find, like, the original Tron is boring.
I've tried to watch it a couple times. It just doesn't do it for me. Yeah, it's like playing a late 70s video game.
Yes. And in fact, if I want to play
a good
late 70s video game based on Tron, I'll just go play the Tron video game at my retro arcade, because they have a cabinet at my local retro arcade of Tron.
Want to shout them out? So when you go there next time, you can be like, hey, I have a show and I shouted you out. Can I get some free quarters?
Yeah, and you got the right of the name. The name of the place is called The Quarters. Oh, very good.
I said free quarters, but The Quarters. There you go.
Well, I love it though, because I am a known enough regular there that I do not have to pay for the all you can play option.
We can name this The Quarters, the episode The Quarters, if you want.
We could see what happens. No, I'd rather not.
All right.
I like our show. But
shout out to The Quarters.
Yeah, shout out to The Quarters. Keep having that awesome Thursday karaoke night and all you can play classic retro arcade.
Patrick's going to have some Dave Portnoy effect for pizza, where, like, now you can't even get in the door.
Right.
Patrick can't even play video games at his own place now because he shouted him out.
I don't care for Dave Portnoy as a person, but I do love the pizza thing.
I think the pizza thing's great. Yeah.
It's funny because Big Noon Kickoff has been at the University of Illinois on a couple of alternating weeks, and it was the first time they've ever had anything like that. And the local folks were so nervous about how he was going to feel about their pizza. It was hilarious. Because a good review, like you said, he's going to bring people there.
Most of Illinois is a lot like South Wisconsin. It's a bar pie. It's thin crust. It's, a little overdone. Good cheese, sweet sauce.
Yeah, he went to, the first time he was there, he went to the university's kind of biggest pizza place, which is Papadel's Pizza in Champaign. And they actually do both the Chicago-style deep dish and a traditional tavern style. They do both.
I love deep dish, by the way.
I do too.
Really good Chicago deep dish.
For my 40th birthday, my parents, because they'll ship from that place, ordered me two pizzas that showed up in the little dry ice freezer thing that I was able to put into my freezer and reheat and cook and have Papadel's pizza. Oh, love it so much.
For me, Giordano's,
is the big,
yeah, they're
is the big chain steak. When I was working
retail, corporate was in Illinois, and it was a really small kind of meeting with HR and three of us that were up and coming, and we ordered in from Giordano's spinach and sausage pie, and it was just sick.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Anyway, that has nothing to do, though, with Jim Carrey in talks to star in a Jetsons live-action remake. And that is our next news topic today. And I know you had shared this, I think, initially with the group, Tony, if I do recall. And I put up the Variety article about it, that he's in talks to lead a Jetsons movie at Warner Brothers. Colin Trevorrow is in talks to direct. And whose last work, by the way, was Jurassic World Dominion. Here's what I'll say about this. One, I enjoy Jim Carrey. I enjoy Jim Carrey as an actor. One of the things that I think he doesn't get the credit for that he deserves is how good he can be as a serious actor. I personally love when he can find a balance with his comedic and dramatic ability. Like, I love The Truman Show. It's one of my favorite sort of breaking the third wall down or fourth wall down sort of film, and my favorite comedy of his is the Cable Guy. Love the Cable Guy. The Password Is, yep, all that.
Fourth Kid.
Thank you. And I always forget that a young Jack Black is in that as well as the best friend.
The voice of reason, Broderick. Jack Black, yes, by the way.
Which is very strange to watch.
One of the greatest pickup basketball games ever as well, right, on cinematic history.
And as a kid, growing up with cable and having things like Boomerang and USA, I grew up on retro Hanna-Barbera cartoons, which included the Flintstones and the Jetsons. And I was a kid who remembers in the 80s watching the Jetsons meet the Flintstones. And I remember in the Jetsons, I can't remember the name of the rock star Judy is obsessed with, but I do remember the terrible song Eep, Op, Ork, Ah-Ah that she loved singing along with the futuristic rock star. All of that is to say, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this. This is definitely something I'm going to need to see a trailer for before I know how I feel about it. I do love Jim Carrey's work as Egghead / Dr. Robotnik in the Sonic film franchise. And so I do think there's a place for it. But I don't know. I don't know how I feel. How do you feel?
Whether or not Judy's crush, Sky Rocker, is involved in this project, I'm here for this. So Patrick and I are in our 40s, like mid, are you still in your mid 40s, Patrick?
I'm in my late 40s. Okay. I'm after the five at this point.
Yeah. Cause it's like 0, 1, and 2 and then like 3 and 4 and then 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay. Anyway, we're in there. The Flintstones and the Jetsons, they translate still to this day. Like, if you have kids that are, you know, below 12 years old, have them watch. They will absolutely love it. I think this would be great. I want to have the first movie to be about Spacely Sprockets versus Cogswell Cogs, right? And then we can have more movies after that. But I think Jim Carrey is a perfect George Jetson. I think you can easily. I'm trying to think about who should fill out the cast, right?
Well, here's the only one I care about.
Daughter Judy.
Who's voicing Astro? Rosie the Robot?
Oh, Rosie and Astro. Astro, too. Rosie? Oh, man, that's a good question. Who's doing Rosie the Robot?
Maya Rudolph. Anyway.
That's not bad. That's not bad at all.
I think that works. Because you got to have a sassy robot. You got to be a sassy robot.
So. I think there's the funniest thing to me, though, and when I was watching this trailer earlier, getting ready for the show, I was like, the one thing I got to bring up, the funniest thing is that this is from the Jetsons are from the 60s, right?
Yep.
As we go into the late 2020s, flying car is still a thing of the future.
Yes. Very interesting. That we haven't. I'm waiting for my flying car. I'm also waiting for maybe a car that I power with my feet. Also worth considering.
Called a bicycle.
No, that's not a car though. I need a car with no floor, where I run really fast to get that car going. Anyway, it's called living in Detroit. And Tony, there. Look at that. Some of your beer squirted out of your nose.
Sounds like that? Oh yeah, it's like we hit rock bottom. Oh yes, the beer squirting out of the nose. How funny is that? I feel like we might talk about that tomorrow. Maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow. It was so funny.
It could be. It'd be hilarious to talk about. You mentioned rock bottom. Let's talk about hitting rock bottom for Dwayne the Rock Johnson. But also a silver lining in that rock bottom. So for those of you who don't know, the Smashing Machine came out recently, did not perform well in theaters. A lot of articles coming out just saying, well, this just proves that audiences don't want to see Dwayne Johnson trying to take on serious acting. There's now been pushback from the family of the dude that the film was based on. A lot going on there, but I say there's a silver lining because Christopher Nolan, one of the preeminent directors in the world, not just, you know, in the United, in the world. Like, when he makes a film, people pay attention. It goes really, really well. He actually is giving Dwayne, you know, The Rock's performance a lot of high praise. He also thinks that the movie is better than it's gotten credit for and that audiences have said. And the quote that headlined this article that I shared said that Smashing Machine will be understood more over time and that I don't think you'll see a better performance this year or most other years. And this is a guy who knows what he's talking about. And we haven't really talked about this, but, you know, we talked a lot about Chalamet, especially after we watched, was it Marty Superior or Supreme or whatever it was called? I can't remember.
Supreme.
That's getting a lot of Oscar buzz. But one of the other names that is getting early Oscar buzz here is Dwayne Johnson for his work in Smashing Machine. Now, did this tip the scale for me to go and see the movie? No. Will I see it when it hits HBO Max as part of their A24 collection? Because it is an A24 film? Probably. Because I don't know that... I do think there is something to that assertion that we're not used to. It's the same thing I feel happens to Adam Sandler and the guy we just talked about, Jim Carrey. The public has in their head this idea of what roles a person is supposed to play. And it is incredibly difficult. It took Adam Sandler years to be taken seriously. And even then, Uncut Gems, which I thought should have been his, that should have been his opportunity. Bill Murray is another good example. These are people who are extraordinarily talented actors that have tried to show range outside of what the public says they should do and can't gain that traction. Bill Murray, you know, whether it's Lost in Translation, whether it's any of the Wes Anderson films that he's done, he's tried so hard to get out of that goofy 1980s comedian guy. Adam Sandler trying to get out of that Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison shadow. Eddie Murphy tried his hand at it. I remember Dreamgirls. He got nominated for an Oscar for Dreamgirls. Didn't get it. And it's just so hard. And this is a different sort of realm, as, you know, Dwayne isn't known for his comedy. Like, he's funny, but he's known for his action films and kind of being that kind of character. But for Christopher Nolan to say this, that's got to be a big deal, right?
The Rock did basically nothing to make this movie, and I think gave part of his, or and even said in doing so to divert part of his salary to some of the other actors and actresses on this project. I mean, think about, let's take the subject matter, MMA, right? When you boil it down. Not at its height anymore. On a decline, actually. And then you throw in, like, this is really more of a, you know, a story of, you know, a character development story, to be honest with you. If you really know the story of I believe it's Mark Kerr, right? The Smashing Machine in the early days of the UFC. So I think he's going to win the Oscar for it. I really do. Yeah. And I think whatever streaming it ends up on, they're just going to see the benefits from it. Of people, you know, getting their service and them internally knowing how many times it was streamed and externally not telling anybody ever, any streaming service, how many times anything was streamed ever.
Yeah, I think it'll be
really interesting. And I'm not bitter about the you know, the sharing of streaming stats at all. I'm not bitter at all.
No, I didn't not get me. That vibe. Not no, me. You're very rational. Very, not me. Very fine. You're calm. Yeah. Calmer than I am.
Oh.
Calmer than you are. Yeah. Shout out to the Big Lebowski.
That rug really tied the room together, did it not?
It did. Speaking of national treasures, I don't know how old John Goodman is, but you got to keep him on the back burner in case Dolly Parton really does.
I am going to fly to Massachusetts and whoop your ass if John Goodman dies before our next show.
Hey now. I don't think we got anything to worry about there.
Damn it, crossed. Donnie. Bowling, not
Donnie, out of here, Elvis.
Rules.
You're like a child who wanders into a theater and asks what's going on. Anyway, Yeah, I will definitely be checking this out. I will definitely be checking out Dwayne's performance. It was just not a film that I was like, look, I'm going to put my money towards that. And it was a big gamble for him, and it was a big gamble. Like, A24 does this, though. A24, their model is to put out a lot of prestige films and then hit on a couple of big ones.
Blake Lively plays the wife?
Is it Blake Lively?
Am I missing?
No, it's Krasinski's wife.
Emily Blunt.
Emily Blunt.
Yeah, right. I got them mixed up.
Well, you know, blonde women. They're there. All right, let's go into our last story of the day. And I really only shared this because you've been tracking and you've been rewatching Game of Thrones. And so I kind of wanted to get your thought on this. So Stranger Things, the final season, season 5, is coming in November. It's been many, many years. There's a fun little chart meme of all the shows that have both started and ended in the amount of time it's taken for Stranger Things to get to its 5th season. And it's finally coming to a close. These children are 37 years old now and still pretending to be in high school. Zach Morris is walking around out there somewhere, and I don't think anybody cares. I know for a fact the little O'Dowd has called Stranger Things his, quote, favorite show. And if I can get him to watch a show and leave his small screen to hang out with us and watch something on a bigger screen, that's always a win. But there were a few members of the cast that maybe were a little trepidatious about how this last season was going to go. Foremost among them was Finn Wolfhard, who plays Mike Wheeler, one of the lead child actors, who's now in his 20s. And he was quoted as saying, as the media blitz has really kicked off, that he was a little nervous about how this was going to go. He said, I think everyone was pretty worried, honestly. The way that Game of Thrones got torn to shreds in that final season, we're all walking into this going, we hope to not have that kind of thing happen. He then goes on to say, but we read the scripts and we knew it was something special. So obviously the actors of a film are going to consistently believe in their work. I don't think anybody ever goes into a movie or a TV series or anything like that and is like, you know what? We're just putting out crap. Crap, enjoy our crap. Like, nobody wants to do that. They really believe in that. But I remember when the last season of Game of Thrones happened. And while I didn't hate it, like, sort of viscerally the way some people did, I definitely felt like, I've always felt that the last season was rushed. That it felt like there were two seasons worth of material in one season of show, and it just felt like it needed a little bit more time to breathe to where it eventually got, and maybe more time will happen. Now, I also know that the last season of Game of Thrones, I think we talked about on the show, was abruptly ended. And I can't remember if it was due to COVID or what, but that their time constraints weren't necessarily put on by themselves, but that HBO had something to do with it. And now we're getting all this momentum for you know, we just talked about it, the Night of the Realms or whatever it was called, or Night of the Kingdoms or whatever it was called. I can't remember what it was.
Closer.
Yeah. You know, there's House of the Dragon that's been doing really, really well. So it's not like Game of Thrones and just completely collapsed on itself and that there weren't, that these spinoffs aren't things that people want to see. And there will be a Stranger Things spinoff coming. Don't think they're going to, that Netflix is walking away from that cash cow. The Duffer brothers, though, won't be the ones directing and writing them, the creators. I'm not worried about this. I've watched this, but I did think it brought up an interesting thought about, again, fans. And what fans of properties do. Because in this age of social media and just sort of response, the negative really gets amplified in a way that I don't think is fair. Because there are positives in that last Game of Thrones that I think are immensely satisfying. When Arya Stark kills the Witch King, like, or the Night King, that is an awesome moment in the series, is very, very satisfying. When Littlefinger gets his comeuppance, that is immensely satisfying in the series and felt well paid off. And so I am interested to see what happens with the fans of Stranger Things and its audience and how they perceive it or how they see it going. But Tony, I go to you. First of all, did you agree that the last season of Game of Thrones was disappointing? Other than I know you want to know what's west of Westeros. And do you think Stranger Things has anything to worry about?
I've never watched anything Stranger Things. Sorry, folks. I've divulged it on this show before. Stranger Things comes from a series of books, I would take it, correct?
No, this is completely original.
So then it's really not, it's apples and oranges then, because where Game of Thrones comes from a series of novels and the story that was told has not even been finished really, leads to so much skepticism by fans. I guess they just want to be remembered better than the end of that was, considering how epic it was, right? Like, I think maybe that's where they're thinking, like, everything we've done has been so well received, we don't want to ruin it with this last season. Now, go listen to Game Gone Wrong, Chairshot Radio Network, attitudeofaggression.com. I literally just watched the last episode of the entire series within the last week. And my only problem with the last season is the last episode. And not to get too specific in case Dave listens to this, it does have to do with rushing. Because I thought everything else was really, really good leading up to that. And they did a great job. I always want to shout out the series Rome whenever we talk about Game of Thrones, because without learning financially how to do a series like that, from having to only be able to do two seasons of Rome, which was, in my opinion, the first like season and, you know, a couple episodes was epic. Show me something better. But yeah, I hope for Stranger Things fans that they get what they want. And if not, it's just really well done and they just have to deal with it.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'll be fine. Oh, excuse me. Didn't expect that. The thing that's really interesting is they've released the length of time for these episodes, and every episode
long
seems to be about the length of a full-length feature movie. So it does feel like there's a lot of time and effort put into that. All right. This has been a shorter episode, but we can never end an episode without telling people what you're watching. So, Tony, I turn it to you. What you watching?
This would be a great week for me to have a long list of things that I'm watching. And I got to be honest with you, folks. I'm not watching anything different than I have been watching. It's kind of light these days. We're on the Kill Tony. We're on the Hell's Kitchen. Nothing new, to be honest with you. And I've been looking for something new to watch. But, yeah, hopefully Patrick can bring the show back here with what you're watching.
You didn't watch I Like Me? John Candy, I Like Me?
I didn't have time.
Oh, make time. That's really, really good. So here, I'm going to tell you what I'm watching after we hang this podcast up and get back to our regular day. There is, on HBO Max, there is a documentary. It's a four-part CNN documentary. It came out a little while ago about Live Aid, the 1980s 85 benefit concert. Most famous to me based on the performance by Queen on that stage. And it's talking about all of the work that Geldof did to make that film or to make that concert happen across the world to provide relief to famine-ridden Africa at the time in the 80s, and just the monumental task that concert was. And I've loved Live Aid for a long time. And so I'm excited to check that out later today. It's a four, like I said, it's four parts. That's an easy binge watch. Looking forward to that. But the other thing that I watched, based on our show, was, I don't know if it was last week or the week before. I think it was last week. There was an announcement that there's real momentum and traction being gained for a sequel to the Michael Mann movie Heat. Right now just known as Heat 2. I
can't believe you've never seen Heat.
And that movie came out in the 90s. I'd never seen it. I don't know why I've never seen it. I don't know if it just never, like, I don't know. I never saw it. And so I was like, you know what? I hear that this movie is great. I want to see what the big deal is. I am here to tell you, folks, two things. One, if you have seen Heat and you love it, I get it, and I'm sorry that I did not watch it sooner. If you've never seen this movie before, you can still watch it today because it holds the fuck up. It is, it's a long movie. It's damn near 3 hours. Stars Al Pacino and Robert De Niro. De Niro is playing a thief, a professional thief with a crew that involves a tightly knit crew with Danny Trejo, young Danny Trejo, for him, Tom Sizemore and Val Kilmer. Those are the core four, but they are planning a major bank robbery and are being followed and investigated and are having the heat put on by Al Pacino's crime unit that is trying to bring him down. And it is about these two men. It's a fucking Greek tragedy to, you know, like in its work, or Shakespearean in the, just the downfall of these two men, because they are both in their own ways. They tell this parallel story of them following each other and obsessing over each other and knowing that they're not, that what they're doing isn't what they should be doing, that they need to get out of this and they need to stop, but they can't, like, that world. And there's this epic moment where they're in a diner having, like, just coffee together, and they're having this conversation that then comes full circle at the end where you hope against hope, and I don't want to spoil it for anybody. Well, it's 30 years ago now. I'm gonna.
You can spoil this one, Patrick.
Like, they talk about if I've got you dead to rights, I'm going to take you down, and that's from Pacino. And De Niro responds, "But what if I have you dead to rights? Like, I'm going to take you down." And it comes down to this chase scene in an airport, just the two of them. And I'm not going to lie, when I said I hoped against hope that it was going to be a moment where Pacino let De Niro walk and let him get away, and he doesn't. He kills him, and it's tragic for both of them, but it's beautiful. This movie was tight. It was well done. It had Ashley Judd, Amy Brenneman's in this. Natalie Portman is a young teenager in this one. It was massive. It was so, Henry Rollins was in this movie. Like, just
Henry,
so
Rollins,
many,
hell yeah.
So many people in this movie, and every character that they introduced, even the Allstate, the black guy, the Allstate black, commercial guy. I think he's Allstate. He's got the really deep voice. I can't remember his name. But even his character, like, every single one of these characters that got introduced had an arc of some sort, a story about why they were where they were. And it was outstanding. I was blown away by this movie, and I'm crushed. What's his name?
Dennis Haysbert.
Everybody in this movie was
wait.
Terrific.
I'm sorry. Dennis Haysbert.
Yes. Deep voice Dennis Haysbert. I have so many regrets for never watching this movie. I'm so glad that I decided to watch it. Easily the best thing that I've consumed this weekend. So that's my what you watching. And then it's Halloween. It's time to bust out. It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. You know, he gets a rock every time. Poor guy. So, yeah, Tony, before we get out of here, tell everybody where they can find you on the socials, on the Chair Shot Radio Network, however you want to make it so.
Oh, follow me at PC Tony, Chairshot Radio Network, all your favorite streaming platforms, attitudeofaggression.com, tons of great things going on over there. And Hulu has a really cool thing going on, Huluween. They got a cool bunch of stuff there, whether you're wanting to just watch, like, The Simpsons and shit like that, or if you're looking to really get scared with some other type of movie. So, yeah, we're approaching spooky season. We're in spooky season. We're approaching Halloween. So, yeah.
We're in the midst of it.
Happy Halloween. So,
there you go. All right. And you can catch me on the social medias at Wrestling Realist. That is at WRESTLNGREALIST. You can catch me every Monday, Tuesdays, and most Wednesdays on the Chair Shot Radio Network. Mondays talking nerdy stuff with usually more people than just me and Tony. But hey, we got it done. Tuesdays, talking sports on the Four Corners podcast, usually with David Ungar, though. Catch a special guest tomorrow, a guest host. You heard it hinted at. That's right, PC Tunney doing the Four Corners podcast with me this week while Dave is out, quote, on assignment. And then Wednesdays, talking wrestling with Greg DeMarco on The Greg DeMarco Show when we, quote, feel like it. As it is for here, this is it for the – that is going to do it. God damn. For Bandwagon Nerds, now get yourself out of the basement, get some sun, and check out a serious Jim Carrey, Adam Sandler, or Bill Murray movie and embrace how great those actors really are. You won't regret it. You've been listening to Bandwagon Nerds here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.